Psalms 34, beginning to read with verse 1. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord, and he heard me, and delivered me from all my fears. They looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamped around about them that fear him and delivered them. O, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusts in him. O, fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want in them that fear him. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you that we can come today, hear all the beautiful music. We thank you for the hymns. We thank you for the Sunday school special. We thank you for the offertory. And we thank you for Toby and for the special that we had from him. And I just ask, dear Lord, that you'll continue to use us. I thank you for the teachers this morning that come to teach your word and to come before their class and to proclaim your word, and that these young and old alike would come to know you as their Savior or continue to grow if they are saved. We just thank you, dear Lord, for the day. We thank you for this Mother's Day. It's so important, dear Lord, that each day is a very special day, and it is made a special day because we are children of God, children of yours. Please, dear Lord, now guide and lead us today and give us your precious word. Touch our hearts with it. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Please be seated. Give you just a very short thought on what's going on in David's life. Right now, we think of David being king. Well, most of his life he was not king. Most of his life he was on the run, and right now Saul is king, and so David is busy moving and busy going from place to place to hide from Saul. How would you like to be at Saul's dinner table and all of a sudden this spear comes flying across the room to put you to death? You wouldn't feel like a very welcome guest. Saul hated David. David, most of his life, most of his young life, was busy running away from enemies. And he had run down and found himself down into the area of the Philistines. And I hope you're a little bit familiar with geography, because if you can kind of see northern kingdom, Israel, and then Judah, and of course at this time it is just one kingdom, one nation, Israel. But down next to the coast you'll find the Philistines. And if you look on any of your biblical maps, you'll find the Philistines is a really long and narrow an area. And the Philistines were always trouble. They hated Israel. And we know that it was a giant, a Philistine giant, that David killed as a child. And so all these times that there's been enemies here, David ran from Saul and found himself down into the area of the Philistines and had gotten captured by the Philistines. And there's a lot of ways to escape, and this time it's a strange thing that David did. David began to act like someone that was crazy, that was out of his mind, that was wild, and it worked. He was set free. And so David sat down at that time and wrote this song. So David is poor, David is homeless, and David is friendless. He's all alone. And yet look at what he has written here. And we're going to take our time and we're going to go verse by verse and we're going to look at this beautiful psalm, these 9 verses that we have before us today. for all of us, but today being Mother's Day, there's probably nothing more important for you to know and to understand and to gain your strength from than from the Lord. Because there's many times that it'll seem that there is no strength anywhere else. No strength to be found. But the Lord will always be there for you. And all the rest of us the same. But particularly today on Mother's Day. That first verse says, I will bless the Lord. And this is David speaking. I will bless the Lord at all times. At all times. Again, David is poor. David is homeless. David is friendless. And yet he can speak words as this. I will praise the Lord. I will bless the Lord. And I will bless Him in all times, all situations, all circumstances. In this trial, in that trial, a good day, a bad day, I will bless my Lord. What words to learn. What words to carry every day. And you'll find many times when we sing some of these beautiful hymns that you would think that the songwriter, it was a glorious day, a bright day. And many times you'll find that it was maybe the very darkest day of their life that they sat down and penned the words to this beautiful hymn that we have had for so many years. David had every reason to be despondent. David had every reason to be angry. David was to be king. And yet he finds that the king hated him, and the king Saul desired with every breath he took to put David to death. And yet David still lifts up these words. And it continues here in this first verse, and it says, His praise shall continually be in my mouth. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. You know, as we look at these words, we need to see that not only that our love for our Lord is in our heart, but the love that we should have for our Lord needs to go beyond being contained in our heart. It has to come and bubble up and come out of our mouth. We need to rejoice in Him. We need to praise Him. Our tongue should be our glory. You know, there are scripture verses that say that the tongue is a very wicked thing. And we know that. We've experienced it happen to us and we have done it to others. That tongue can say things so quickly and be so damaging. But you see, when we set in our mind and our heart to continually praise our Lord, and it comes from our heart and comes out of our mouth, we have a mouth that is full of blessing. And if it's full of blessing, it's going to find no room for criticizing. And it's going to find no room for condemning. You see what a heart that's full of the love of God? It comes from the heart and it comes up to the mouth, and as it comes forth out of the mouth, when it's full of blessings, it's full of praises of our God, we'll find that we're not going to make so many mistakes and say something that's going to be hurtful and harmful to others. We're going to say something that is good and glorious and wonderful. We should praise forever our Lord. The second verse comes and continues, My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. You know, bragging is something that usually isn't good. We brag about what we own. We brag about who we are. We brag about where we live. We brag. It's kind of a natural thing. We like to brag. So normally bragging is something that is not good. How about in our soul? Is it good that our soul, you know, we're back to the mouth and the heart and the soul. Is it good that our soul would brag? And you know, we are a people of pride. We are a people that likes to be bragged about, and we're a people that likes to brag about what we possess and what we own. Well, that kind of bragging is not good. But here David is talking about, my soul shall make her boast in the Lord. So you see, there is something that we can brag about that is good. And it's not some accomplishment that we have had. It's not some possession that we own. It is our God. And we need to praise Him, and we need to honor Him, and we need to lift Him up. We need to exalt our Lord. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. We need to boast about who He is. Boast of His person. Boast of all the wonderful attributes that we have learned. Boast of the promises. Boast of the work that He has done. We need to boast about our God. Every part of Him. Every part of Him. Because you see, our God's accomplishments is something that cannot be compared. To save my soul and to take my sin away, what an accomplishment. To give me a new heart and to have me be able to rejoice no matter what's going on. To bring a smile and gladness into my life when everything around me seems to be falling apart. Not knowing what even today is going to bring, let alone tomorrow. You think, boy, that's right where I'm at. Well, that's right where David's at. And right now, David is in that same situation. David has no hope except for the hope he finds in the Lord. And that hope here makes him and brings him to a place of boasting about how great his God is. Boast about the relationship that we have with Him. Boast of the interest that I have in Him. A boasting that is good. A boasting that should never end. That we boast and brag of our God. And not necessarily something that He has done in me, not something necessarily He's done in you, but just what our God does and who He is. The last half of this second verse, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. What happens when someone that boasts, someone would boast of something that they have? You boast about your home, you boast about your automobile, you boast about your money, you boast about your job, you boast about everything. I mean, that's the way we are. We're prideful people. We boast. We boast all the time. What does that do to the poor? What does that do to the humble, the people that maybe have lost their job and they have no job? Because they've lost their job, they've lost their home. Because they've lost their home, they may have lost their family. They have lost everything that they possessed. Everything. And you're standing there bragging. Churches brag. They brag about the number of members. They brag about the number of baptisms that they've had. Well, how does that bragging help the poor, struggling church and pastor that hasn't had those great results in that great number? But my friend, if we brag about our God, that lifts up the poor. If we brag about our God, we can give the poor, we can give the person that lost their job, we can give the person that lost their home, we can give the person that lost their family, we can give that person hope. When we brag about our God and who He is. Wonderful. The day comes that we learn to brag about our God and not brag about ourselves. Because when we're bragging about ourselves, it tears somebody down. We brag about our God, it lifts somebody up. And so remember those simple things. Verse 3, O magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt His name together. O magnify the Lord with me. With me, let's lift our God up. With me, let's honor our God today. Is David talking to the poor and the humble? Maybe. We're not really told. But he is saying, he says, come with me and let's praise our God. Now what a wonderful invitation for someone that has lost everything. For someone that is struggling through today. What wonderful words that we have. Maybe you're the one today that needs to hear those words and need to be lifted up. Maybe you're going to be the one today to pass those words of honor and glory and praise of our God to someone else, because you'll find that they are lower than you. You know, when you go up to a couple weeks here, we're going to be back up at Mayo's for our checkup. And when I go up, why, you know, you can complain and all the things, why this and why that. But my friend, when you're there, you see very quickly that you have nothing to complain about. Because my, there are folks there that have no movement of their hands, no movement of their arms. We ran in years ago to a young man that was younger than me, and he could move his chin. He was paralyzed completely, and all he could move was his chin. And they had designed a wheelchair for him to set his chin in a little carriage, and when he just wiggled his chin, he could go forwards, backwards, right or left in that wheelchair. Oh, my friend, what do we have to complain about today to come? And you know, sometimes when we look each day and we come together and we wake up in the morning and we're troubled about things. We were, many years ago when Mom was up at Rochester in the hospital, we sat through three surgeries at Mayo's with her. Each one was a brain tumor that they removed, or actually a tumor upon the brain. And they would take it off, and then the doctors would come in and have us as a family go to a separate room, and they would give us the report. And you know, every time that we left that room, this has really stuck with me. Every time that we've left that room, you know, there was always somebody else still there. But you know what? I didn't care. I left and I was excited that the surgery was over and hopefully everything went well. That was the first time, the second time. And you know, until the third time, when we were up there, and they came, and as they come to the door and they announced the name, it wasn't our name. And all of a sudden, for the very first time, we were the last. And we weren't the last for 10 minutes or an hour. We were there for several hours awaiting the report. Surgery started about 10 that morning, and the doctor comes to us at midnight that night, only to tell us that Mom's back in surgery again. And it finishes about 2 in the morning. For the first time, we sat there all alone. Nobody else was there. But you know what? It was good for me because I realized that, you know, I wasn't considerate. I wasn't kind. I didn't turn and pray for those poor folks that still were sitting there when I left that room. I was just glad I was leaving. But when the Lord put me there and put me there to be last, He taught me a lesson. I could have been angry with the Lord, but instead of being angry, I thought, Lord, forgive me. Forgive me for not being kind and considerate and thoughtful and at least praying for those poor folks that were still there. You see, the Lord teaches us things. David here is poor. David here is on the run. David here is friendless. David here has more enemies than he can find, than he can count. And yet these wonderful words come from his lips. And we need to see that we do the same. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt His name together. To honor Him, to lift His name up, to grow with Him and together with you. Again, is this addressed to the poor, to those that are in need? David wants to come together and worship with you. He wants to praise the Lord with you. That should be our desire. We should want with all of our heart, no matter what's going on in our life, that, oh, dear God, can I come together with other believers and worship together and praise Your name together? That, Lord, You can bring through others and through me, You can bring joy back into my heart through this difficult time. Our Jehovah, our God, is infinite, is all-knowing. We need to magnify Him. We need to be strengthened, lift up His name in our life every day. And then let us exalt His name together. Again, let's congregate together. Let's come to worship our God. That was God's plan to grow His church, that we would come together. Verse 4, I sought the Lord, and He heard me. I sought the Lord, and He heard me. Seek the Lord always, is what David is telling us here through the leadership of the Holy Spirit. Seek Him always. Never reject the thought that our God is not hearing. Seek Him always. Never will you seek Him in vain. David here, in all that he says, is giving us great hope and great strength. Deliver me from all my fears, the last half of verse 4 tells us. If we would seek the Lord, look to Him, depend upon Him, He clears away our fears and their causes, and He leaves none. That's what our Lord does. That's what our Lord does. You say, well, He's not doing that for me. I've called on Him and they're still here. The only advice I can give you is to keep calling. Just keep calling. Because I guarantee you, He has not forsaken you. If you're His, if you're a child of God, He has not left you. He has not abandoned you. He is taking you through this time. You know, we have the old saying, the footprints in the sand. You know, and you go through that period of time there, and you know, Lord, I look back, and there's only one set of tracks, and he wonders why. You know, where were you, Lord? And the Lord says, well, that's where I was carrying you. You see, sometimes we don't realize, and I hope we get far enough down into these verses of Scripture, because we're going to find that not only is he a deliverer of our fears, from our fears, he destroys our enemies. He removes our fears. He silences our fears. He puts to a still voice those that come against us. The fifth verse says, they looked upon him and were lightened. We look to him. If we call upon him, it will bring a joy to our heart, a smile to our face. It'll make us to shine. It'll lift our spirits up. You will find life, light, liberty, and love. You'll find when you come unto the Lord everything that's good. Everything. He has never rejected one that's sick when they've come to his door. Never. The Scripture says here, they looked upon him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. Their faces were full of joy. That's what comes when we say, Lord, continue to help me. Please don't say, Lord, you're not helping me, because he is. Say, Lord, thank you. Thank you for your strength, and please continue to give me victory. Give me strength, because I've got a long ways to go. And when we really put our dependence upon the Lord, then our faces move from sadness to joy. And the sixth verse says, this poor man cried and the Lord heard me. That was David speaking. David calls himself a poor man. And he said, I'm poor, I'm desperate, I'm friendless. But you see, he cried unto the Lord. He called upon his protector. He called upon the one and only one that could really lift him up out of this time and be there every second, every minute of every day. Our Lord takes our griefs away. And the last part of that, saved him out of all his troubles. David found himself still on the run, still homeless, still friendless. And yet he can say the words here, you have cleared the slate, you've got rid of all my woes. Oh, thank you, dear Lord. Now, still on the run, still hunted down, still friendless, still poor. And yet David had in his heart such a joy. Because once again, he had watched his Lord deliver him. You see, we're delivered on a daily basis. We're not just delivered. We're delivered from our sin once, yes, but delivered from the daily burdens. He delivers us every day, and many times, often many times through the day, he delivers us. He delivers us. Seventh verse, the angel of the Lord encamped round about me, round about them that fear him, and delivered them. You know, our Lord Jesus is our head, is our leader. And he has at his disposal legions of angels. and something that I know I forget, and I'm sure that you do too. We don't realize how many times and how often our God has protected us. How many times has He brought His hand down and stopped a vehicle from hitting us? How many times has God put a hedge around us and protected us? He protects us every day. Oh, we're so busy looking at what's not right that we miss the beautiful blessings of the day to see all the things that He has done. How many angels has He sent down to care for me this week? How many times has He stopped me from doing something that was dangerous to me that I wasn't aware of? When you get in that automobile to travel, He is right there with you. He is caring for you. He's protecting you. We go about to do the duties of the day. Each day He is there helping you and lifting you up and caring for you. But the old flesh makes us think we're alone. Now, there are times that we go through things that we're to learn from. And even through those times, He is right there to help us, to lift us up. Little do we know how often He has saved us. Little do we know how often that He protects us or those that we love. And then the Scripture here says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good." You will never know how great our God is until you have a personal relationship with Him. Never. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 3, "If so be that ye have tasted that the Lord is gracious." Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, here in verse 34. Blessed is the man that trusts in Him. Oh, fear the Lord, ye His saints, for there is no want in them that fear Him. Fear the Lord, ye His saints. Respect, reverence, fear His displeasure. Walk with Him. Walk in His laws. Respect His will. Tremble when you offend Him. Be quick to serve Him. Fear God and nothing else. For there is no want in them that fear Him. He may not give you the luxuries that your heart desires from time to time, but He will meet your need every day, every minute. He'll meet your need. Now, who can you call on that can do something so great and so wonderful? I hope you enjoyed Psalms 34, verses 1 through 9. Let's close with prayer. Father, we thank You for these precious words. We have been studying out of 1 Peter for several months. We have much to learn from that book. But we come now to this Psalm of David, We look at what he's going through, and then we think about what we're going through. And I hope, dear Lord, that you touch every heart. Because I know, dear Lord, there are hearts that are in need. There are hearts that need to know you're there. So I just ask today, dear Father, that you'll show them. That you show them that when they call upon you, you respond. You hear. And you're at work in their life to take care of things. Dear Lord, let us never forget that we have been bought and paid for with an awful price. And that price is your Son, the Lord Jesus. And Father, those that are here that have never come by faith, they maybe have thought it in their mind, but they have never come. Please today that they come. That they can enjoy your presence and your power and your strength. That, Father, they will not have to go through this tough time and difficult time and troubled time in their life alone without you. We as believers from time to time feel that way. But, Father, we know that it's not you, it's us. Please, dear Lord, just touch every heart today as we sing this beautiful hymn of invitation. Gives us an opportunity for your word to soak into our heart and our mind. And dear Father, we can respond to you. So please, dear Father, give us all ears to hear, hearts to receive, and mouths to speak today. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.